Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and we are in the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus. And I just plan to take these first 18 chapters and possibly two more chapters later on in the book. But I like, first of all, to come to this last part of this first division. And for those of you who want to follow along, starting in a chapter 19 through 31, you have the giving of the law and the instructions on building a tabernacle. And then from 35 to the end of the book, you find where they built the tabernacle and all the provision that God made for them. And how the glory of God filled the tabernacle. My, what an experience it must have been for God to come and fill the tabernacle with his presence. And yet, my friend, when I think of a much greater thing, that God has come into human beings, into men and women who put their trust in him, and the Spirit of God comes to indwell us, never to depart. He comes to abide with us forever. As our Lord said to the disciples, he is with you, but he shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, in the 18th chapter, we've been discussing this as a millennial picture, or as a kingdom picture, where Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, who was a Gentile, by the way, brought Zipporah, his daughter, and the two sons, of whom Moses was the father. And when Moses informed Jethro of all the faithfulness and the mercy of God, you remember that Jethro and Moses and the elders of Israel and Aaron, they gathered together and they had a burnt offering, the offering of worship. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you think of it. The time is coming when the Lord Jesus returns to the earth and when righteousness shall reign, that the nations of the earth, all the nations of the earth, together with Israel, are going to worship the Lord of hosts. In fact, as I quoted in the last lesson from Zechariah chapter 8, 10 men out of every nation under heaven shall lay hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew and shall say, we're going with you because God is with you. I'm quoting Zechariah 13. See, friend, what a need there is today. I look around, I read the papers, I read the magazines, and I see nations getting further and further and further away from God. Now, I'm not a pessimist, I'm a realist. My Bible tells me that in the last days this is exactly what would take place. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In the last days there shall be an apostasy, and men shall give heed to seducing spirits and to the doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and so on. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're turning away from the faith. We'll worship demons. And I tell you, friend, we're seeing this begin to come to pass here in America. And yet this is the best place in the world to live, is in America. In the other parts of the world, for the most part, they're entirely without God. They don't want him. They've kicked missionaries out. They want to live in sin, in rebellion. And when Antichrist comes, he's going to take over. The man of sin. Sin personified. Then you have the judgments of God. And the Lord Jesus will come and set up his kingdom. And all the nations of the earth will recognize him as Lord of lords and as King of kings. And they, together with Israel, will worship the Lord of hosts. This is what God has for us. And it's pictured for us here in this 18th chapter of Exodus. Now, starting in verse 13 of chapter 18, you have it came to pass on a morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from morning until evening. And when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, saw all that he did, he said, what is this thing that you're doing to the people? Why do you sit out there alone? And all the people stand by you from morning till evening. Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come to me. And I judge between one another. And I do make them to know the statutes, the laws of God. And Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. Now, here's good. Here's some good, natural, common sense. But the question I raise, was Moses right in accepting it? Now listen to it. Moses' father said, the thing you're doing is not good. You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to wear away both you and this people that is with you, for this thing is too heavy for you. You're not able to perform it by yourself alone. Now, you hearken to my voice, and I'll give you counsel. Now, here's a much older man speaking. And God shall be with you. You be to the people for God, that they may bring their causes unto God. And you shall teach them ordinances and laws, will show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you will provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, men who heed covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring to you, every small matter, these other men will judge. So it'll be easier for you. And they shall bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God command thee so, then you shall be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifty, rulers of ten. And they judged the people at all seasons. And the hard cases they brought to Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his own place to his own land. Now, I've read that through because I want you to get the picture. And the question I raise was, was Jethro's advice the thing that Moses should do? Up to this time, Moses has been the one man that stood between the people and God. He's been God's man before Pharaoh at the Red Sea, with a manna, with a smitten rock, with a war over Amalek. Shall he now turn to men for help? Or is God sufficient to use Moses? Now, Jethro was using what I would call just plain common sense. You're going to wear yourself out. As if God couldn't take care of that. How often we tell the servants of God, listen, fellow, you better cut down, you're going to wear yourself out. So what? I'd rather wear out than rust out, wouldn't you? Don't you think God is able, the one who was El Shaddai, able to give you the strength to do the job he wants you to do? If God's given you a job, my friend, it's for you to do that job. And God will give you the strength and the power to carry on and do the job. He'll gift you for the job. Well, isn't it of God that God may call in others to work with you? That may be true. But let God do it. Let me read you something. I'm reading from the 11th chapter of Numbers. You know, again, you come to this question of the manna. And they got tired of eating manna. They want some leeks and garlics and onions with it. And you remember that this manna was perfect food. Perfect food. All the vitamins they needed, all the chemicals they needed, everything they needed was in that manna. And remember, they went 40 years living on manna. No drugstores, no doctors. God took care of them. He fed them on heavenly food. Now let me read. When Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Why? Because they were murmuring about God's supply. And Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child unto the land, which you swear to their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? They weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone. It's too heavy for me. If you deal thus with me, kill me, I pray you, out of hand, if I have found favor in your sight. Let me not see my wretchedness. Boy, I'm telling you, poor Moses was right down the valley, wasn't he? I can understand is, oh, how often we murmur against God. Lord, why do you send these people to me? You know, I've been a pastor in a church for 37 years. I'm no longer in the pastorate. But I was 37 years in one church, and there have been times when I've got on my knees before God to have the Lord remove somebody out of the assembly that was causing a little trouble, you know. And one time I had a man on my board, and I got down to pray, Lord. In fact, it's in my heart. Lord, just take this man out of the way. I just can't take it anymore. Why do you leave him here? In fact, I would have prayed the Lord to take him out of the earth. And it just came to me before I even prayed. I got thinking about it on my knees. What to say to God when it came to me. All right, Mitchell, if I take this man from you, out of your assembly, where you're preaching, where you're the pastor, where will he go? Oh, I suppose he'll go over to so-and-so church. Is that pastor a friend of yours? Yes. Do you want him to go over there? No. I certainly don't want him to go over there. That pastor's a friend of mine. So when I go down to pray, I didn't pray for the Lord to remove him. I just prayed, asked the Lord to give me the grace and the strength and the wisdom and the patience, all that I needed. What for? For the building up of that man in Christ. You know, it's so easy for us to try and dodge responsibility. Now here's Moses. They're murmuring and murmuring and murmuring. I'm tired of this bread. I'm tired of the divine provision. I want flesh. I want this. I want that. And Moses said, it's too much for me. If you think I'm all right, if I found favor in your sight, then kill me. Let me not see my wretchedness. And mark the answer of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, gather unto you 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with you. I will come down, I will talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit which is upon you, and I will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it alone. Notice, I will take the Spirit of God that's upon you, and I will pour it upon them. You know, sometimes, and I say it very candidly, sometimes we who are in the gospel ministry, or maybe you've got a Sunday school class, or you're giving testimony, and you wonder why God doesn't do this and why God doesn't do that, why God doesn't just step on the scene. Huh? Take me out of it, Lord. No. God will send somebody with you, but he'll take the Spirit instead of taking and giving that man gifts of his own from God. He might take it from you, give it to them. I don't know. But I know one thing, that when God calls you to do a job, don't you dodge it. Even if it's a very heavy burden, carry your burden, because the Lord gives you the strength and the energy to do what he wants you to do. You know, as I've been reading this book of Exodus, I realize the tremendous need for us to appreciate the fact that God is right with us, right where we are, whether we're without food, without water, whatever it may be, whatever the test, whatever the trial, he's with us in the test, and he'd bring us through the test. And every test is an open door for the manifestation of the power of God. Did you hear what I said? Instead of murmuring against our situations, our experiences, or our circumstances, or our feelings, let us remember that these very tests, even our afflictions, even our sorrows, becomes the open door for God to manifest his grace, to manifest his patience, to manifest his power. And thank God, oftentimes, to manifest his delivering power. But before I leave this chapter, I want you to mark the wisdom of this man, and God give us this too. Jethro says, you choose out men. What kind of men, Jethro? Men that fear God. Men that have got their trust in the Lord. Men of truth. Men who hate covetousness. and place them over the thousands and so on, and let them judge the people at all seasons. You be before God on their behalf, but let them bear the burden with you. What kind of men? Men that fear God. Men who know the truth and love the truth. Men who hate covetousness. Oh, God, give us men today, not only in our churches, but in government, whether it be the state or the federal government. God, give us men who fear Him. Men who love the truth. Did you hear me? Men who love the truth. Men who hate covetousness. Well, you say, Mr. Munster, I see that all around in our country. That may be true. But the tragedy is, it's flown over into the church itself. God give us men on our boards, on our church boards, on our school boards, men that fear God, men that love the truth, and men that hate covetousness. You say, well, that's just Jethro's advice. It's good advice. God never turned it down. And if you do this thing and God commands you to do it, then you'll endure. Now, I'm well aware some of you are going to say, well, Moses did the wrong thing. Be that as it may. You work it out if you want to. You can take that Numbers chapter 11 and say, well, that was, God says, I'll take it from you and pour it upon them. But I do believe we need, in verse 21, we do need men who fear God. We need men who love the truth. We need men who are not covetous. Not only in our governments, whatever it may be, whether it be federal or state or city or county, whatever it may be, but God give us men in our churches who trust the Lord, fear God. That's a holy fear. This is not a terror. This is a holy fear because God is omnipotent. God is holy. God is righteous. Men who love the truth, not dishonest men, men who love the truth, and men who hate covetousness. You know, I'm reminded of that verse over in the book of Jude. In the last days, men will go the way of Cain. That is, they'll believe in salvation by works without sacrifice. And they followed after the error of Balaam for reward, commercializing divine things. God deliver us from it. The third one was despising the authority of the Word of God. And these three things are so evident today in so-called Christianity. In our churches throughout the country, we have many who are preaching salvation by works without Christ. Many who are commercializing divine things. I might say, and I say this sorrowfully, that are men who claim to believe the gospel who are commercializing divine things. And then there are those who deny the authority of the Word of God. Oh, God, give us men today who fear God. Men of truth. Men who hate covetousness. Now, I would like to close today with this. When God calls, He always supplies us. He always meets the need. He supplies the energy. He provides all that we need. God does not call us into His service because of our ability. Did you hear me? God does not call us into His service because of our ability, but because of His ability. You see, humility stands in the place where God has placed us. When I speak of my inability to do what He asked me to do, that manifests not humility, but unbelief. Did you hear? When God calls you and me to do anything for Him, and we dodge it, we alibi, well, that's not humility. That's unbelief. In fact, it's a dangerous thing because it's a show of humility when it's not. And may I say again, the flesh profits nothing in God's work. As Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I'd like you to I want you folk to read those first 18 chapters again. Read them as a whole, with all the background we've given you, and forward right through from being dead under the sentence of death in chapter 1 until we come to chapter 18 in the wilderness with God, meeting with Gentiles and worshiping the Lord, and leadership given to those who love God, who love the truth, who hate covetousness. Now may the Lord bless you today. And if you've got the time, would you mind reading before the next lesson, chapters 32 and chapter 33 of the book of Exodus. And the Lord bless you today for his wonderful name's sake.